good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I just want to bring on Ogama here before I get her on with the news and welcome her. And it's you and me, and then Nancy Bolio, and then we have Gina Peltier talking about a lot of things here as we usually do. So, hey, without any further ado, Ogama, let me drag you in here and start us off with a good way with some news that you don't hear anywhere else other than here. Ho.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I am Ogama Ganua Kwe.
You're on mute, by the way.
I'm on mute. No,
I can't hear
you. Hold on.
Oh, she's miming over the airwaves here. And Nancy Bolio, I see Nancy's listening to us too, and I think she's trying to hold back the laughter. Nancy, I'm going to bring you on real quick here and just chat while Ogama reboots her computer or whatever she has to do. Hey, welcome, Nancy. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Can you hear me?
Nancy, you're on mute too, it sounds like. No?
I can hear Nancy.
I can't hear
can
you
hear me?
I can hear
That's
Ogama.
That's weird. I wonder if we have issues with the studio.
Yeah. I wonder too.
Because I can't hear anybody on StreamYard now. Who's at the studio right now?
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm going to take a look.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what to say here. We got some difficulties here at the studio. And I'm wondering if you could call me, Nancy. I wonder if you could call the station real quick, and then we could chit-chat here a little bit. We got a malfunction here, and
I will call Nancy and ask her that. Nancy, can you hear me? Robert wants to know if you can pick up the phone and call him.
We'll see the fact that we don't have the studio here on Clean Feed either, so maybe nobody hears us.
I think we're live, and I think people online can hear us.
Nancy, call the studio, not me.
Oh, call the studio, Nancy.
Can you guys hear me, Art?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear
I'm wondering
hear you,
if
Robert,
we should go to a commercial here until we get this straightened out. Is anyone...
let's see.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking to Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350, Leech Lake Nation. We talked treaty rights with Nancy, and then we're going to go to Gina Peltier. So why don't we go back to the studio here until we get this figured out? So let me put some bumper music on here and send us away.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Are you nervous to go to your mailbox and see one more past due mortgage bill? You could qualify for financial assistance through Home Help MN if you have fallen behind on your mortgage payments due to the pandemic. This Minnesota housing program even has money available to help with other past due mortgage-related expenses. Learn more at homehelpmn.org or call 1-800-388-3226.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you by A Wing and a Prayer, I think. Ogama, can I hear you? Give me a test.
I don't know, Robert. Can you hear me?
Yes. Wow, this would be great place to start a radio show, don't you think? My God.
You know, I think it's okay sometimes that people see that we have technical issues, because everybody has technical issues sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah. When you put it that way, yes, absolutely. But, no, usually it's just you're on mute. Not the whole radio station's down.
Well, and I don't think they're down. I think we're back up now. We're good to go. We can keep moving. You know, it's a Tuesday. It's a tricky Tuesday. It's going to be all right. We lost Nancy for a minute here, though, so we'll have to kind of wait for Nancy to come back on. Do you want me to go ahead with some news while we wait?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, by the way. And reintroduce yourself. I thought I did one of, like, the greatest, intros into the news ever that I've done in 5 years, and then I couldn't hear you. So let me try it again. Let's go with Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else.
Hi, Ani Buju, everybody. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and my name means strong golden eagle woman, and I have some news for you today on Native Roots Radio. First off, I want to give my girlfriend JP a shout out for this awesome t-shirt I'm wearing. It reads Burn Sage, Sweetgrass, and the Indian Act, and it's probably one of my favorite t-shirts, although I haven't gotten a chance to wear it on air just yet, so I thought I'd take the opportunity today. You know, Robert, I'm going to start out with something important about our animal relatives, because this message was received today to Native Roots Radio from Maureen Hackett, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves, which you can find out more information at howlingforwolves.org. They're one of our main sponsors here on Native Roots Radio, and as you might know, they fight for our animal relatives, the wolves. And Minnesota is home to one of the only original wolf tribes in the continental United States. However, what's happening right now is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is holding talks with tribal representatives this week. And the idea is to get input on petitions that were filed last year to get wolves relisted in the National Registry for Endangered Species. And this information about these meetings sounds like it was kind of put out last minute, or people are finding out about it last minute. And it's really, really urgent. Maureen Hackett sent this to us and said, it's really, really urgent that we have tribal contacts with cultural affinity for wolves come on to this Zoom meeting that's happening this Friday with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They had a meeting today, and there were only four tribal representatives who spoke, and all four of them had they indicated that they were not supporting wolves or for protecting wolves, or did they even indicate any real cultural affiliation with wolves? So none of them gave the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service any idea or any advice on how to incorporate these new rules and the tribal administration programs. So basically they're calling the Zoom calls a check the box action or a drive-by consultation without meaningful input opportunity from tribal people about wolves and about whether or not our relatives, the wolves, should be relisted. So this is a national call out for anybody who might be available to register for this event. The session 2 is this Friday, June 10th at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And you need to register for that in advance. And again, this is for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service inviting tribes to consult on the 12-month finding for gray wolves in the Western United States. And I will put the information on how to join that in the comment section here. And basically, they're deciding whether or not wolves should be relisted. Gray wolves should be relisted. And this tribal consultation is incredibly, incredibly important, people, for our relatives, the wolves. And there's a letter for tribal leaders included on the website. The website I will also post as well so that people can go there and get registered to speak on behalf of our relatives, the wolves. So again, if you're looking for more information, you can always check out howlingforwolves.org, but I'm putting the information for where to sign up for that event to as tribal consults to talk about your cultural affiliation to the wolves and protect them. It is on the BIA.gov website. So since Wendy is not here, I figured I would start with that today, Robert. How are we doing for time?
Going good. We're going to go to 6:29, so we're going to try and get Nancy on as soon as you're done.
Awesome. Perfect. So other information that's coming out this week, super exciting. The Wilma Man Killer coins have been released. Wilma Man Killer quarters, I should say. So Wilma Man Killer was a Cherokee Nation's first female principal ship. Chief, and they now have a quarter that has been made with her likeness on it, and it's really, really exciting. She was a freedom fighter and was very, very determined and showed a lot of, I believe the Indian Country Today article says that she demonstrated grit and determination while fighting for justice for Native Americans and inspired us all to do more to help ourselves as a people. So Mankiller's family and hundreds of other people's turned out for the limited release of the coins in Tahlequah, Oklahoma today. So that is super exciting. I'll see if I can get an image of the quarters up. They're really just really beautiful, kind of stunning, these quarters with Wilma Man Killer on them. I mean,
what a great name too. I know when I was teaching, even up to a few years ago, a lot of our Native women, young women really knew her history and how great of a worker she was for her nation, but also the first woman chief. That was totally amazing. She's left us a while ago, and it's sad, but her legacy lives on, right?
Absolutely. As always, we have our relatives and our ancestors that are behind us all the time. And it's really, really touching when we have these wonderful reminders of those relatives that are with us in, you know, a national sense. Native Americans, as we know, are always a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of bit censored and not taken very well a part of the national voice of the United States. So it's really, for me, I think it's really important to have these coins. And I know we have the Sacagawea dollar as well, but Wilma Man Killer was also super important too. There's also a really awesome event that's happening in Chicago. In Chicago, the Field Museum has opened a new permanent exhibition, and it's called The Native Truths, Our Voices, Our Stories. So it's 4 years in the making, and it's an interactive exhibit that basically opens the door for Native peoples and their stories. So the Field Museum doesn't just focus on objects, but it's driven by stories of Native American people told in their own voices. So there's, you know, contemporary stories in here, not just ancient stories, not just those stories that happened from, you know, before the year 1900, right, Robert? That's how our Indian education goes in the United States.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Right. And then a couple other things I wanted to touch base on is that obviously it's Pride Month here in the U.S. So June is Pride Month. And there are some Native American Pride events that are coming out that Indian Country Today compiled for us. So June 12th is the Indigiqueer Pop-Up Powwow in Bentonville, Arkansas. June 16th is the inaugural Two Spirits Washipi in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. June 5th through 19th is Sioux Falls Pride in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I believe there's just one more coming up here. June 20th through 25th is Navajo Nation Pride in Window Rock, Arizona. So Pride for our Two Spirits all over the country. And June 24th is the Two Spirit Powwow in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So we want to make sure that we could maybe have somebody talk about that when we get a little bit closer to the date, right, Robert?
Yeah, that's up to you.
Oh, yeah. I suppose it is, isn't it?
Yeah. You tell me what to do. Seriously. So I don't know how much more, but I think we have Nancy on the phone. Are you wrapping it up?
It's hard. I am ready for Nancy. I am always ready to hear what Nancy's got.
Hey, welcome, Nancy. I hear rumors that you bailed us on StreamYard, and now you are on the phone. Welcome.
Bonjour. Can you hear me now?
Can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, I was on, and then I thought we crashed, so I powered down my laptop, and it moves like a turtle, Robert, so I apologize, and now I'm here, voice only, but it's a strong voice, so that's all that matters, right?
That's right. That's right. And I know you always any excuse to get off this stream yard, you're on it, Ed. So you shut that computer right away off, didn't you?
You know, Robert, and I had my Honor of the Treaties bandana. You know, those patches that Owen makes. I just had to put one on a bandana, and I wore my best earrings too. So I tried, and that's all I can say.
So we got 7 minutes left in the segment. We had issues at the radio station. It wasn't your computer. So wanted to give us a little update of what's going on. And people are like, now you can't see this unless you watch the show later. But people on StreamYard and Facebook are just saying how much they love you. So we love you. And let us know your truth right now.
You know, I just love everyone right back. And I just want to say I'm spending this week reflecting on Camp Firelight, which happened about 1 year ago today, and it was a beautiful space that we held collectively as treaty partners, Native and non-Native, and I wrote a short story, and I really want to just share that, even if I only got 7 minutes and I can't talk anymore, but I really want to share this today because this is the week, and I think it's a beautiful little recap of how it all started and where we're going. And so I want to take some time to do that right now. Is that okay?
Right on. Perfect.
All right. Camp Firelight. Camp Firelight was an 1855 treaty people gathering and prayer occupation on the banks of the mighty Mississippi in northern Minnesota, which was held June 8th through the 14th, 2021. It all began with the We Are All Treaty People gathering held on June 5th through the 8th, 2021, an event planned and supported by several grassroots and nonprofit organizations. It was a beautiful, inspiring, empowering gathering. We convened for 3 days in Waubin, Minnesota. Native culture and treaty knowledge were shared to build understanding and respect for Native communities, treaties, and our obligations as treaty partners were also discussed. Countless relationships were inspired and born. It was a beautiful 3 days. Immediately following the treaty people gathering, along with Jane Fonda, met at the Mississippi Bridge near the LaSalle State Park, where we marched, sang, and prayed for the Nebe. Soon after, we followed our hearts and occupied the Line 3 easement in prayer ceremony. We invited our treaty partners and allies and held space collectively in peace and prayer. We asserted our collective treaty rights along with our right to freedom of religion, and together we held space for 8 peaceful days. We stopped construction for those 8 days, and I'm sure Mother Nature thanked us. Our Native treaty partners prayed with us and amplified our struggle and gave voice to our story. This story includes all of us because we're all related. We show the world what it looks like to honor treaties and to live in peace as neighbors as the treaty is intended. We followed our original instructions and became guardians of all that is sacred. We were protectors of the Nebe and keepers of the 1855 treaty. And what did we accomplish in those 8 days? We control the narrative for those 8 days. We denied Enbridge's eviction notice with the support of the Clearwater County Sheriff. We also respected his authority during our occupation and in defiance. And we held back the Northern Lights Task Force twice. We exited under our own terms, under the sole jurisdiction of the Clearwater County Sheriff's Department. Our occupation was in peace as we honored each other in the 1855 treaty. 51 water protectors were cited with misdemeanor trespassing. Some accepted a stay of adjudication. Some cases were dismissed, and some of us are still waiting for dismissals. Asserting our treaties shouldn't be a crime and should never be tried as one. Treaties are supreme law of the land, Article 6 of the United States Constitution. We feel hopeful, win or lose, we'll continue to assert our treaties. Our sovereignty was never ceded. The Firelight occupation was the beginning of what the new future looks like as treaty partners, a future we can all thrive in. The 8 days spent together built everlasting relationships and continued, we are all treaty people awareness. Our good work continues as we continue to write our story. We hope you join us because we are all community. The 1855 treaty encampment will forever be in my heart. I'll never forget. Firelight was a loving and caring space I still hold dear to my heart. And I want to say a big chi-mi-gwich to all the courageous people who stood in solidarity with us and supported Camp Firelight. And, you know, Robert, we couldn't have done it without them. And when we stand together, we don't stand alone. And obviously, this is more than a pipeline because treaties matter and we're all treaty people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got another minute here left. And when did you write that?
I just wrote this about a week ago. It just takes a while to absorb all those emotions that you hold on when you have trauma from some of these experiences. Right. And, you know, I just wanted to wait until I was a little bit clear. And I think, you know, 1 year later is a good time to share that story. So we're sharing it now, and we're going to continue to move our good work forward, Robert. And I look, you know, like, I just see a lot of good things happening, and I'm very honored to work with our elders, a big chi-mi-gwich to the elders and the treaty keepers that led the way out in the occupation, because it wasn't Nancy Beaulieu that led the way. It was all of us, all the strong hearts and all the warriors out there. We did it together.
Wow. Hey, hold on for a couple more minutes, Nancy, and we can wrap this up after a short break. Are you cool?
I am always cool, Robert.
I know, I was just testing to make sure you're still not only cool, but humble. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Are you nervous to go to your mailbox and see one more past due mortgage bill? You could qualify for financial assistance through Home Help MN if you have fallen behind on your mortgage payments due to the pandemic. This Minnesota housing program even has money available to help with other past due mortgage-related expenses. Learn more at homehelpmn.org or call 1-800-388-3226.
Hello, Minneapolis. Make sense, make progress, make a date, make an appointment with me. Weeknights from 10 to midnight here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. My grandfather started Standard over 90 years ago, and we've been a family-owned company ever since, serving over 500,000 of our fellow Minnesotans. I'm proud to be the fourth generation of my family working in our business. And when we say we treat our employees and clients like family, we truly mean it. See how we can help your family stay comfortable all year long at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, my name is Pamela Topchian. I'm a former nurse, published author, and board-certified hypnotherapist with HypnoBreakthrough.com. Do you feel stuck in a rut? Finding yourself wondering if this is all there is to life? Tired of just existing? HypnoBreakthrough can help you to reduce stress, release fears, gain confidence, and reach your life's goals holistically, mindfully, and gently. So I ask you, what changes would you like to see in your life? Let's talk about it. Contact me, Pamela Topchian, board-certified hypnotherapist, to schedule your free consultation, which includes a complimentary stress-reducing sample session so you can see how it feels for yourself before any commitments are made. Go to hypnobreakthrough.com for all the information. That's hypnobreakthrough.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. A slight chance of showers tonight with a low of 57, then sunshine on Wednesday with a high of 74. The Great Wall has been serving up authentic Peking and Sichuan favorites for over 40 years. The Great Wall is located on France Avenue along the Minneapolis-Edina City line. Check out their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you by Native Roots Radio Trading Post and also, our Patreon. I just want to give a shout out to all the people out there all over Turtle Island that have been donating to our Patreon for these past year and a half. It started when all the advertisers went away, and we really appreciate your support, and it just kept us going. So I just want to say ahoo, Pina Gigi. Hey, we have Nancy Boley of Bemidji 350 who just read an awesome story and brought back a lot of good memories. Nancy, when we have Jane Fonda says you're listening to Native Roots Radio, that's where Ogama recorded her saying that.
Oh, really? Wow. You know, everybody was so starstruck out there, and I had to take the direction of Tom Goldtooth, the founder of Indigenous Environmental Network, because, you know, he actually gave a lot of guidance and how to hold this space in the best way we could. And so I was focused on Mr. Goldtooth while everybody was starstruck. But I do remember seeing her there, along with Bill McGibbon from 350.org, and it was an honor to have him with us as well. You know, there was a lot of big names out there that day that believed in the work that we do and took risks right along with us. And again, like I said, I'll never forget those 8 days. And thinking forward, there's going to be people that are going to help build on that, because that's why we continue to show up, Robert, because there's so much more to do, all kinds of different front lines you could take to, and you show up how you want. But this is one of the best ways to show up in peace and in prayer, and bring your drums, your songs, and your ribbon skirts and shirts, and we can do this all over again.
Yeah, definitely. And Patricia Arquette was there, and her sister, her younger sister, I think, who was a big star during the TV shows, or was it a movie? I don't know. Her younger sister, I can't think of her name. She was at Standing Rock, too. So the Arquette sisters, great actors in the last 30 years, were at Standing Rock, and one was there. And there was also somebody from Orange is the New Black, but I've never watched that show, so I didn't know it was her until well after we were all taking pictures. But Winona and these kind of things, Winona LaDuke and these kind of things really get people out. And it was fun. There were so many people there, and they were so chill, and they were joining in and everything. And it's good memories.
Right, and there was so much going on that day, and that was my next shout out is to all the sister organizations that helped with the planning and making all those days possible, because, you know, we couldn't do it by ourselves, and it took a lot of work, a lot of commitment, and we pulled it off in the best way we could. There was two types of actions going on that day. We had GNU Collective during the lockdowns in a really powerful way, and then our side of the action, we held the easement for 8 days and stopped work in those 8 days for Enbridge, and I think we showed the whole world what it looks like to stand in peace. And, you know, we felt a little, what do I want to say? We felt bad for the other action that day, because as we were there in peace under Clearwater County jurisdiction in their, you know, county, it was a whole different approach to how their police department handled us. They acted like treaty people, good people, and I want to give credit to the treaty summit that took place in Clearwater County prior to that event happening, and that summit built treaty education to the elected officials in that county so they could understand that we're still here, that we still have treaty rights, and we're going to protect the water at all costs. And so that built that understanding, and I think we had a different outcome because of that. And all we could do the first day and every, you know, the first couple of days, because they were, you know, having a hard time on the other side, was to pray for their safety, because they were handled by a corrupt police department, and it just wasn't right. And we felt a little cheated because we were basting in the sun, and they were, you know, having helicopters throwing dirt at them and all that nasty stuff. And we prayed and prayed for our relatives on the other side of the action. It was all beautiful, and it was all for one, you know, similar cause, protecting the water and defending our treaties. And so it was so many beautiful people out there, Robert, and I'm sure there's going to be people that, you were out there? I didn't remember, because some of us were going night and day, and it was worth every second of hard work that it took to make that happen.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, and I have a fond memory of jumping in the river. It was knee-high, the Mississippi River, and where it begins, and right around when you guys were, where your camp was. I got a question. How did, and I hate to use the word end, but how did it end after all those days? What decided you to leave? Because I know in other kind of actions, everyone would be arrested and pulled away, and then it would end. But that isn't how it ended with you, right? Or with your group?
No, it was a whole different, you know, situation with us. Like, again, it started back with the summit, and then being there in those 8 days, we continued to educate and build a peaceful relationship with the Clearwater County. And in those 8 days, we controlled the narrative. We respected the sheriff's authority. And through that relationship, we negotiated an exit under his sole authority without allowing Northern Lights Task Force to come in and bully us out of there. And our whole point was to be there long enough to show that we can stand in peace like this, and we're going to do it every time. And we also wanted to share our story across the globe. This is what treaty partnership looks like, and we can continue to do this, and this is the beginning of a new future we're going to write together. So we were there in those 8 days in a good way, and you know, maybe the next occupation might be 16 days. Who knows, Robert? We just know we're going to show up, and we're going to follow the instructions that were given to us by our ancestors, and pray to Gitche Mani Du and stay strong and continue to do this good work. So, we'll probably control the narrative, and it's just how you show up and remind the world and remind the authority that's there that we're treaty people, and treaties are supreme law of the land, Article 6, and it's about time you all honor it, and we're going to show you just how to do that. So that's what we did out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, it's just, it's a good thing, and it's an amazing thing, and it's always, I know we've talked about it, but reliving it today is a good thing in a good way, you know. It seems like it was a long time ago, but really it doesn't seem like it's a long time ago. So I don't know. What's your feeling on that? It's crazy.
Well, you know, I'm just even thinking about the difference in the weather from, you know, 1 year later. I remember sweating like no other when we're in Waubin for those 3 days, building those relationships and teaching those treaties and things like that. We were super, super hot. Even the shade was hot, Robert. So just looking and thinking about what last year was compared to now, it's I wish we could have had this weather a year ago, and it would have been a whole different setting out there. But, you know, regardless of the drought and the hot temperatures, people didn't back down. They showed up and they stood strong, and we came out a little parched. But we're still alive and we're still here, and I look forward to the next treaty occupation, and I don't know what it looks like or where we're going to be, but we're onto some good stuff here.
You know, and one of the things I got to say, too, is that we have to remain strong, and we also have to remain united, because I think as time flows on, people move and groove and do their own thing, and life happens, and kids, and graduation parties, but to return to, in a good way, to these kind of stands, we have to stay united.
Right, and you know, and sometimes there's going to be differences amongst us, but it's always a good thing to understand that it's okay to disagree and just to have respect for each other and know that this isn't a place where you pick and choose where to show up. You really kind of need to make it a priority to show up in a good way, Robert. And I'm not saying, you know, don't attend these important events in your life, but also make a little sacrifice to make room for these original instructions. This is who we are. Our ancestors stood on the front lines, and they defended the treaties and protected our culture, and we too have that same obligation. So I'm asking, you know, everyone that's out there listening, make a little time, show up, and you're going to realize that there's no fear involved in it. And as long as you're there in a good way and stay in love, stay in peace, you're going to find out that you're every part of this community, and there's a place for everyone here. And we'll show you how to fit into this movement, because we all have different skill sets, or some come with songs, some come with knowledge, and some have, you know, hunting abilities. We all come together in like a puzzle in the end, and we just build on that. And Robert, again, I'll never forget those 8 days. Mm-hmm. Even when I get old, it'll be a story that I tell. But, you know, just looking back, I think some people have been inspired by those 8 days, and they want to be a part of this work. And, you know, now is the time to join. We're a part, you know, in history here, where we're going to change what history has given us.
Wow, that's a really good point. And, you know, you're a veteran of Standing Rock. You stayed at Standing Rock during that occupation to fight the No Dapple, the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so it's interesting to hear that you always remember this because you were a longtime warrior at Standing Rock.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up too, Robert, because hadn't I went to Standing Rock, I don't think I'd be fighting, you know, Line 3, and I don't think I'd be defending the treaty. So it was awakening for many of us, and I was honored to go there and be reminded of my teachings and what my role here on Mother Earth is in my short time that I walked this crusty earth beneath my feet. So I feel good about the work I do, and sometimes it, you know, it could be overwhelming, but you know, those are the things that make you stronger, Robert, and we have to know that inside of ourselves somewhere there is that part that says, I can be fearless and I can defend my people, and my ancestors and my family would be proud of that. And, you know, you kind of just, you know, and be humble about it, Robert. It's just a good place to be.
Wow, let's end with that. Thank you so much, Nancy Bolio. I mean, the Seven Fires have, the reason why this radio show is because started was because of Standing Rock. So the Seven Fires have gone everywhere, and we're really excited, and we're still here. We are the seventh generation. Thank you so much, Nancy Bolio.
Right. Have a good night.
All right, we'll see you next week. Ho-wah. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at
651-304-9986. This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, saving wolves for future generations. Oh!
Oh!
Hey, oh, a delay there. I guess the alpha male wolf had to howl first before the others howled. Okay, that's cool. What? Hey, Gina. Gina, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and it's great to stop in and do a quick check-in. What's happening with you in Honor the Earth? We just wanted to reach out and say a hoo to you, and how's it going?
Hey guys. Hey Robert. Hey Oguma. So thank you guys so much for having me on. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I'm so glad that Nancy was on first talking about Camp Firelight, because, you know, with what I had going on this weekend, Honor the Earth sent me to Baton Rouge. It was a good time. They let me go. It was called the Gathering for the Gulf of Mexico. I got the shirt on. It was a Gulf Gathering for Climate Justice and Joy, and it was in Baton Rouge, and it was a great time. And it's really funny because, you know, last year we were fighting pipeline, and I was at Camp Firelight for the full 8 days. And while I was there, I drank the water out of the Mississippi River every day, and I did not get sick.
Right.
And so, you know, like many others, I put my life and my freedom on the line. And it was really scary being there because there was the threat of the Northern Lights Task Force and other law enforcement coming to arrest us. And I've never been arrested before. So it was just really scary. And the experience of being there and drinking that water, and then not even a month later, Enbridge fracking out into the Mississippi River and having our fish develop blisters and not having wildlife in there, you know, they poisoned the Mississippi River. So being able to attend the Gulf Gathering for Climate Justice and Joy, it was really emotional. I got quite emotional flying over the Mississippi River, you know, last year, risking my life at the headwaters. And now a year later, I'm all the way at the end of it. And it really made me think, like, it brings a clearer understanding of how many people this is going to affect. They already have poisonous water. There's, you know, their water is already being poisoned and taken from them. You know, you have to drink water out of a water bottle. And where I live, I can drink water out of the tap, and it's the most delicious water I've ever had, you know? And so it's just crazy. And I really enjoyed that. Nancy was talking about it before, because it wasn't only a Camp Firelight. It wasn't only a scary experience, an eye-opening experience, but it was also a really beautiful experience. I witnessed firsthand also at Camp Firelight how communities can work together. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. I just, you know, it's scary and beautiful at the same time. And that's what got me through it from being there all 8 days. So it was really cool to go to the Gulf Gathering for the Climate Justice and Joy, because we talked about, they had a lot of working sessions where we discussed, you know, false solutions and how we can band together and get more people involved. But I was also excited they wanted to talk about solutions, and we had breakout areas. And, you know, I got to speak about hemp and the benefits of hemp. And I was astonished, like, I was flabbergasted that not that many people know the benefits of hemp and that it is a solution and that it has been. We've always had it, you know. So, and not only that, but to express how much line 3 is going to be affecting them to experience. So with my experience and being able to speak about it to them, there's a lot of people that didn't know that there was this extra risk going on up in Minnesota and how badly it was going to affect them. So I'm really appreciative that Honor the Earth let me go down there and share not only the benefits and solutions of hemp, but, you know, also my experience with battling line 3, so they could hear firsthand exactly that, you know, it's now being poisoned and that we really do need to stop the flow of the oil. Because once that pipeline leaks, it is going to destroy that water source. And, you know, the 8 million people thrive on the Mississippi River. But I just, it was great. And we had some Standing Rock family there with me. I thought I was going to go alone, but that was a great surprise and it made it so much better. And they invited me to go meet with local tribes down there, and we got to take a tour on the bayou. And on the tour on the bayou, the boat driver, he said it wasn't that long ago, not like 10, not even 20 years ago, where what we were driving on what we were on was land.
Right.
And wow. And right. They said that we're losing an equivalency of a football field of land a day in the world. Yep. So, it's so grateful I was able to go. I should move on and talk about all the good stuff that Honor the Earth is doing, because it's not only about that, but how we are moving forward. And and that's another thing, too, is what I learned from the Gulf Gathering for Climate Justice and Joy is that, you know, we really, really, really need inclusivity and to start doing all these great things. But, you know, with Honor the Earth, we are still trying to stop Line 3 and bring awareness to stopping the flow of the oil. And we do have a Drop the Charges rally this week on Thursday, starting at 12:30. We will have food. And then Alan Richardson, he's a longtime water protector. He's been full-time battling this, has made many sacrifices, and has been a really, really good ally. And, you know, like we all know, water protectors should not be prosecuted, you know, and these false charges should not be brought on against water protectors, especially when they are, you know, the law enforcement is being paid by Enbridge. But so this is going to be Thursday at 12:30 in Aiken County at Aiken County Courthouse. Alan Richardson, he has two separate cases going on. Wow. So one does start at 1:30 and the next starts at 2. So we do ask people to please continue to support water protectors who are going through the courts, because it's scary getting arrested, but it's even scarier going through the court process alone by yourself, not knowing what's going on. And they all made brave sacrifices, risking their lives and their freedom. So, you know, it's a good way to keep up the awareness that, you know, we were peaceful. We're unarmed. We went in there trying to save the water. And that's how serious it was. No one wants to be out there. I didn't want to be out there in the heat and risking my lives and being manhandled by some white cop who's like mad at me because I don't want him to use oil. And it's just like, right. You know, don't want to get tased and shot with rubber bullets. So, and that's just goes to show how serious it is. So please come join us Thursday, starting at 12:30. We're going to have great food in Aiken County. sorry guys, at Aiken County Courthouse. But you know, there's a lot going on, and I personally just want to thank everybody's patience, you know, cause it's just, there's so much going on, you know, stopping Line 3, trying to stop Line 5, you know, Honor the Earth. We're trying to focus on stopping the Huber Mill and the Talon Mine and RDO Industrial Farms. We're trying to have, start the just transition to a green new revolution, food sovereignty and hemp and solar power, the rights of Manumin and wild rice. And Honor has a lot going on, and we are all so busy and all this good stuff. So, you know, I'm grateful, but you know, we have other stuff going on too, like MMIWR, Land Back, police brutality, women's rights, LGBTQIA rights. You know, all those are being threatened. Our children are being gunned down, and our mothers are being harassed by social workers to get their children away. So you guys, with, you know, on decolonization and white supremacy. But I just like to say before we go, we need more allies. We need more accomplices, and we need more healing, kindness, and patience. And we need to come together and save all of our futures. We got to stop letting them intimidate us.
Wow, great way to end it. Gina, thanks for stopping in for this real quick update. We're still here. We are the seventh generation, and I want to thank all our affiliates. I don't think, Ogama, we do that enough, listening to all these great people like Gina, and we are still here. We are the seventh generation. Please, free Leonard Peltier.